Beautiful thing. And you've heard it said many times, that old adage that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. God has given us this great gift of our intellect, of our brains. We really need to use it. Now, some people, they're pretty good at using their brains, right? I mean, when the word genius is named after you, you're a real Einstein. You know you're using your brain really well. I was amazed once when I read an article about Einstein when he wrote his theory of relativity back in 1905. It had no footnotes because he had no one to quote. Everything he wrote was original. No one had ever thought about it before. So some of us are like Einstein, and unfortunately a lot of us are sometimes like this, where if you were to blow into our heads and our ears, you'd get an echo, and because there's not a whole lot in there. How do we use our brains? I like this quote about an empty mind's not really empty, it's just filled with a lot of rubbish. And I will admit, you know, we all have our guilty pleasures. You know mine. Finding Bigfoot. I'm guilty. Okay, we all put stuff like that in our brains, but you shouldn't fill your brain entirely with things like that. God has given us this gift of our brain, of our intellect, and we really need to use it. We need to exercise our brains so that we use them to their fullest. And we do that in so many ways. My wife, Karen, loves crossword puzzles. She could do crossword puzzles all day. It's one of the ways in which she stays sharp. Some of you do Sudoku, okay? I'm a math moron, okay? Could never figure that out. But some of you love to do that. Some people, they love word searches. It's one of the ways you just keep your brain sharp. Reading is probably the best way to keep your brain sharp, to keep it focused, to keep learning new things. What a great gift that we can learn. Or even learning another language. What an amazing gift that is to enable your brain to speak two languages. And physical exercise. Just getting out there and exercising your body is a great way to exercise your brain as well. We all need to train our brains to use them the way we need to. And as Christians, we also need to train our brains. And God wants us to know His Word and learn His Word. God has given us His Word so that we may truly be the people He wants us to be, and we need to train our brains. We all know what a recipe for disaster is. I have a story about that. Back in college, I was a sophomore at UW-Eau Claire, taking a class on biblical studies. And in the class, we had a student who said this, and it has stuck with me. It's been nearly 40 years since he said this in class. He didn't realize what he said when he said it, but here are the words that came out of his mouth. "Well, I don't know what the Bible says, but here's what I think." And you know what? All too often, that's how we go through life, right? And sometimes what we think isn't bad, and sometimes what we think is a total unmitigated disaster. But as Christians, God's Word needs to be what leads us and guides us. Martin Luther, this wonderful quote from Luther, talking about the people of his day, that we should never think that we can finish in 1 hour learning what God himself never finishes teaching. Because it is important for us as Christians to learn, because then we pass on our faith. When parents have their children baptized, they make promises to their children to help them grow in faith. Luther also said this, if you don't do that, he talked about how one fool will train another, and as they live, so their children will live after them. It is important for us as adults to train our brains in God's ways so that we know what God wants. Jesus puts these sad words this way. One fool, or he says, can a blind man lead a blind man? Won't they both fall into a ditch? You were here last week. You heard me tell a little story about my very first day at seminary, 35 years ago this month. The very first thing said to me in my very first class in seminary by Dr. Duane Priebe was this, that the Lutheran Church was born in the university setting. God gave us brains, and God expects us to use those brains. And that's why last week I shared this beautiful verse from Psalm 119, that God's Word needs to be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. In this world of sin and darkness, we need that light of God's Word. And we also then need to be those lights who shine God's love upon others so that they, too, can know what God says. At the end of today's Gospel, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, after preaching for 3 chapters, summarizes what we need to do. He says, everyone who hears my word and obeys it, is like a wise person who builds your house on a rock. When Jesus says the rock, he doesn't mean this. Okay? When Jesus says the rock, he means himself. I need to be the rock, the salvation on which you build your lives. Did you notice what the crowd said at the end of Jesus' teaching? He taught them is one who had authority. As Christians, we believe that Jesus speaks with the authority and power of God. And then Jesus goes on to say that a foolish person who hears his words but doesn't do them is like someone who builds their lives, their house on the sand. Now, those of us who don't live along the coast, if you're like me, I wonder why do people continually build their houses on the beach when hurricanes come? There's obviously they think it's worthwhile. But when storms come, you can see what happens when something like that, when you don't build your life on a firm foundation. Sometimes it's not sand, but it's not the best foundation in the world. I mean, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is beautiful. It is a very famous sightseeing stop. But would you really want to live in it? Would you really like to put your china up in that house? It doesn't work. To me, the saddest words in the entire Bible are these words from Jesus in Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you? God wants us to do what he tells us because it's for our own good. Our first lesson today, the words of this great creedal statement from the Old Testament that God gives to his people immediately after giving them the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. God commands his people to know this, that he is their God and he is one. He goes on to tell his people that you shall love me with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's who God is. That's what they are to do. And then God tells them in great detail how they are to live out this commandment. Listen to what he says. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them. We are to share God's word with our children, with our family. When should we do that? Well, the Bible tells us. Do it when you are at home. Do it when you are away. When you lie down, and when you arise. In other words, always. We are always to keep God's word in front of us. In fact, God gave his people more instructions. He said, bind them as a sign on your hand and fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And to this day, many devout Jews, they wear these things called phylacteries. They're little leather boxes, which they tie on their foreheads or they tie on their arms. And in that little leather box is this verse from Deuteronomy. They are literally to keep it in front of them at all times, or at least when they pray. And God also says to his people, write these words on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. And in many Jewish houses to this day, if you go on the front door, above the door is a little niche. And in the niche is this verse from Deuteronomy. God has a point he wants to get across. This commandment is important. And I don't want you to forget this commandment. Wisdom and faith come from constant exposure to God's word. Many years ago, I attended a workshop, and the pastor said something really great that I've always remembered. He said, sitting on the premises is not the same as standing on the promises. Sitting in a pew is not the same as standing on the promises of God in Jesus Christ. God wants us to stand on the promises. So, how do we go about exercising our brains as Christians? Let me give you just a short list of things that you and I, we can all do. Many of you are doing these things already. Maybe there's some ideas for you here. The best way we exercise our intellectual faith is we come to worship. When you come to worship, one of the things you do is this. You get to hear God's word. Now, in Luther's day, Luther on weekdays would preach for half an hour, and on Sundays, he'd preach for an hour. Pastor Heidi and I, we go on for more than about 15 minutes. We know our jobs are in trouble. But we are here to preach God's word. What does Luther say in his meaning to the third commandment? We are to fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching or God's word, but instead keep that word holy and gladly hear and learn it. You probably received the mailing we sent out this week to all of our members at Grace about the importance of worship. Because worshiping is where we come to hear God's word. But there are many other ways we can learn God's word. Sunday school is a really great way to learn God's Word. We don't have Sunday school just to take your kids off your hands for an hour on Sunday mornings. They go and they learn, and they learn what you promised as parents you would help them learn when you had them baptized. Sunday school for adults is important. Reading the Bible, okay? Reading the Bible is just a little important when it comes to growing in our faith. God wants us to open His amazing Word and learn it. Now, a lot of people, when they go to read the Bible, they start with Genesis 1, and in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and creation, and, you know, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and all that good stuff, and they're going really well. This is really good. I like this. And then they get to Genesis chapter 5, and that list of names that goes on and on forever, and they're done. All right? You maybe have tried that at some point in your life, right? Here's a good way to read the Bible. Just flip through it. Flip through it. Read little bits here and there. Read parts of the Psalms. Read parts of Proverbs. Read what Jesus says in the Gospels. Read part of those beautiful sections from the Apostle Paul in his letters. Just explore God's wonderful Word of the Bible to see what's there and to see how God talks to you. You can come to a Bible study, and many of you do, and that is wonderful. We have our adult forum today. Between services, we have a Thursday night Bible study. I've got a group on Thursday night, some of whom have been coming weekly for 9 years. We have our men's group that meets at 6:15 on Thursday mornings. We have the mom's group. We have the circle. We have many other groups who get together to study God's Word. What a great and wonderful thing that is to do. We have books. The Lutheran Digest, Christ in Our Home. They're here. They're out on our welcome table. They're free. Can't argue with that, right? Little daily devotions for you if you'd like to get into God's Word on a daily basis. Takes a few minutes, but what a great way to do it. You can go into our church library. Did you know we have a library? Okay, yeah, we have a library with lots of great and wonderful books. You can go in there, check something out, just sit and look. Books for kids, adults, videos as well. You can listen to God's Word on the radio right here in Milwaukee. And in this day and age, we have this thing called the Internet. You heard of it? Okay. Our Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has a website, elca.org. On that website, if you want, you can go and you can listen to or read a daily devotion called Daily Grace. What a great thing to do. You can even have Bible verses texted daily to your phone. How easy is that to get a little exposure to God's Word? I did a Google search. I typed in daily Bible devotions. Here's what I got. 3,320,000 hits. You think there are opportunities for us to grow in God's Word? They are everywhere. But why bother? Why should we bother doing this? Well, I can tell you my own personal experience on why this is worthwhile. I can tell you what God's Word means to me and how it helps me in my daily life. For example, when I read in the Bible the story of Cain, who is jealous of his brother, and ready to kill him. And God comes to Cain and warns him that sin is crouching at your door like a little monster, and it's waiting to grab you, and you must defeat it. When I read that, it reminds me that in my own lives, where sin is so tempting, and sin can sneak into my life so easily, I have always got to be on guard against sin. In my own life, when I read that heartbreaking story of Abraham who's commanded to sacrifice his son Isaac. And as he starts to go through the motions, his son says to him, "Father, we've got the wood, where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham says, "The Lord will provide." And God spares his son. When I read those verses, it reminds me when I sometimes worry. Do any of you ever worry about not having enough in your lives? It reminds me that the Lord truly will provide. When I read that amazing story of Joseph and his brothers who sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt, and years later when he is in power, they come to him and they come cowering. They come lying to him, saying, "Dad, when before he died, said, don't do anything mean to us," when Dad never said that. Joseph says, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? And even though you intended harm to me, God intended it for good." When I read those words, it reminds me of this in my life. That God's power to create good is stronger than our power to create evil. And I need to know that. When life gets a little overwhelming to me, when I sometimes feel weak and wearisome, I read these words from Joshua, who was called to fill the biggest shoes in the world, the shoes of Moses, to lead the people into the Holy Land. And as he wonders if he can do that, the angel of the Lord comes to him and repeatedly says, "Be strong and courageous." And it reminds me that I can be strong and courageous in the Lord. When I read those words in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemaker, blessed are you when you are hated because of me." When I read those words, it says to me, you know what? As crazy as that sounds, it is true. Because the one who speaks those words is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he speaks God's truth. And when I hear those amazing words from 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, then I have that wonderful sense of peace knowing our faith is true. And then it helps me to live out the verse that guides me through my daily life. The words written by the Apostle Paul when he was in a Roman prison, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And it says to me, Paul, God can and will strengthen you and guide you each and every day of your life. That's just personally for me, is what God's Word means for me and why learning it is so important to me. And we each ask to say, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? What about you? How and where does God speak to you? Where do you find God's guidance in your life? In what ways is God's Word living and dwelling in you and helping you to grow in your intellectual well-being as a servant of Jesus Christ? We are all called to build our lives on that solid rock of Jesus Christ. And using these brains of ours in the service of God is a great and a wonderful way to do that. So take a quiet moment and just pray to your Lord that he will lead you and guide you and inspire you in whatever way possible so that you may continue to grow in his word as a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen.